Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Vishnu Parabrahma Savaraja Kacharya Shate Shate Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantikoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Parampara Ki Premsekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 18, entitled The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan. Text 35 through 37. So we'll read 35 and 36 together, and then we'll chant responsively 37. Govinda Kundari Tirte Prabhu Kailas Nana Tahan Suniva Gopala Gila Gantuli Grama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took his bath in a lake called Govinda Kund. And while he was there, he heard that the deity Gopal had already gone to Gantuli Grama. Se grame gya kaila gopala darshana prema vese prabhu kare kirtana nartana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the village of Gantuligram and saw the Lord Gopal deity. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he began to chant and dance. So we'll chant 37 responsively. Gopalera Sundarya Deki Prabhura Evesha E Shloka Padinache Haila Dina Sesha.
Gopalera Sundarya Deki Prabhura Evesha E Shloka Padinache Haila Dina Sesha.
Gopalera Sundarya Deki Prabhura Evesha E Shloka Padinache Che Haila Dina Sesha. Gopalera Sundarya Deki Prabhura Avesha E Shloka Padina Che Haila Dina Sesha. Gopalera of Gopal, Sundarya, beauty, Deki, seeing, Prabhura of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Avesha, ecstasy, Eshloka Padi, reciting the following verse, Nache, dances, Kaila, there was. Dina Sesha, the end of the day. Translation. As soon as the Lord saw the beauty of the Gopal deity, he was immediately overwhelmed by ecstatic love, and he recited the following verse. He then chanted and danced until the day ended. So let's read the verse together. As soon as the Lord saw the beauty of the Gopal deity, he was immediately overwhelmed by ecstatic love, and he recited the following verse. He then chanted and danced until the day ended. Purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following information about Govindakund. There is a village named Aniyora on Govardhan Hill, a little distance from the village of Paita. Govindakund is situated near here, and there are two temples to Govinda and Baladev there. According to some, Queen Padmavati excavated this lake. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, fifth wave, the following statement is found. E Shri Govinda Kunda Maima Neka Ita Indra Kaila Govinda Ravishega. Govinda Kund is exalted for its many spiritual activities. It was here that Indra was defeated by Lord Krishna, and Indra offered his prayers and bathed Lord Govinda. In the book Stavali, Rajavilas Stava 74, the following verse is found. Icha para vayat svayam surapati pado vidrite ayai svarganga savilaisha suravi vararavi shekto svam govindasya navangavam aipata rajye sutam kuntrakat taryat praduravut sadas puratutad govinda kundangrisho. In the Mathura Kanda is also stated, Yatra Vishikto Bhagavan Magona Yadu Vairina. Oh, it's not here. Sorry. I have it. Yeah, that's interesting. It's not in the book. I have it though. With humility caused by great fear, Indra took hold of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and, in the company of a Sarabi cow, performed his coronation festival by bathing him with the waters of the heavenly Ganges River. Thus Lord Krishna's kingship over the cows became splendidly manifest. I pray that Govinda Kund, the lake created by that ceremonial bath, may eternally appear before my eyes. Also in the Mathura Kanda it is stated, Yatra Bhishikto Bhagavan Mogana Yadu Vairina Govinda Kundam Tajatang Snana Matrena Mokshadam. Simply by bathing in Govinda Kund, one is awarded liberation. This lake was produced when Bhagavan Sri Krishna was bathed by Lord Indra. Gantuli Gram is situated near the two villages, Bilachu and Gopalapura. According to hearsay, Radha and Krishna first met here. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, fifth wave, it is stated, Saki Duna Vastre Ganti Dila Sangopane. It is also stated, Paguya Laya Keha Ganti Kuli Dila. For this reason, the village is known as Gantuli. Oh, it's also not in the book, sorry. I was going to explain that it means not Gantuli. So it is also stated, Paguya Laya Keha Ganti Kuli Dila. With the Paguya, they undid the knot. For this reason, the village is known as Gantuli. Actually, it is there. It's at the bottom. So in this chapter, the Lord's visit to Sri Vrindavan, it opens with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uncovering the location of Radhakund. And then this current portion of his pilgrimage to Vrindavan starts at Govardhan Hill, starts close to text 23. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't want to climb on to Govardhan Hill, and he's kind of lamenting how will he see the Gopal Rai deity, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers himself a devotee of Krishna. To walk on Govardhan Hill is which is sacred, which is Krishna, it's not very nice. So he was lamenting, how shall he see Gopal Rai deity? So it's kind of interesting because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's lamenting how he's going to see the deity of himself, and then the deity makes the arrangement so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can see him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, so he's lamenting about not seeing himself, but then also making the arrangement so he can see himself. But it's because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani, lamenting as a devotee of Krishna, that he wants to see Krishna. He's lamenting that he cannot see this deity of Krishna in some way. And so, in that relationship, the Gopal deity makes some arrangement to come down from Govardhan Hill so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can see him. Some villager comes and says that the village is going to be attacked, and so the deity is moved several times from location to location, and being kept in the house of Brahmins. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes his bath in the Manasinganga and begins to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And then the deity goes to Gantuligram village, which is described in the purport as the place where Radha and Krishna first met. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees the deity, he becomes in ecstasy, and he dances and chants all day. And he also takes his bath in Govindakund, which is also explained in the purport to be the kund where Indra did Abhishek to Krishna after Indra realized that, you know, he made some huge mistake by the devotees of Govardhan Hills. Krishna suggested to them, you know, why don't you worship Govardhan Hill instead of worshiping Indra, because everything you get, you know, for your sustenance is coming from the hill. And so Indra became very puffed up because they no longer were worshiping him. So he sent many rains and storms, and Krishna held up Govardhan Hill to protect the villagers. And then Indra realized his mistake, and that Krishna was the personality of Godhead. And so he worshipped Krishna at Govardhan Kund with the Sarabi cow milk, and the remnants of that Abhishek are said to be part of the Govardhan Kund, and that if you just take bath in that Govardhan Kund, then you'll achieve liberation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes his bath there and then goes to the village Gantuligram, Gantuli, the translation is not. And this is the tradition that that I saw when I first saw Vaishnava weddings, but I suppose this tradition goes back very far, and is where the groom and bride have their garments tied together in a knot, signifying that they're connected in the service of the Lord. And so that's how the name Gantuligram came, where the place where Krishna and Radha first met. So I was meditating on this pastime to try to have some understanding of the meaning of such an elevated pastime. And it seemed like Krishna, that the deity went to a place a very holy place, thinking of like, you know, the first place where Radha and Krishna met, of all the places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have darshan of this deity. I mean, if he went up onto the hill, perhaps he wouldn't have come, to see the deity. It would not be the same as if he actually, you know, lamented and missed seeing the deity of Krishna. It felt like he was not going to see I really want to see Gopal Rai, but I just can't, you know, I can walk on Govardhan Hill, so I'm going to do my parikram, and then the deity appears to him in Gantuligram, which is a very holy place, and the Lord becomes in ecstasy. So I was just thinking of, you know, how sometimes we want something, you know, usually it's something material if we're not a pure devotee. So I will speak from my own experience. It's usually something that I feel like I need. And so I'm lamenting over, you know, missing this thing that I think is very important to me. And sometimes I might pray because I feel like I really need it, whatever it might be. So I make a prayer to Krishna, like, you know, can I have this? Or maybe I'm suffering, you know, from something, and I don't want, it's bothering me, it's disturbing my mind, or it's harming my body, and I just want to be relieved of the suffering. So I pray to Krishna to relieve me of the suffering. Or sometimes I'm looking for the answer for something, and I pray to Krishna, you know, help me find the answer of this. And so Krishna will always answer our prayers, and sometimes it may not be the answer that we want or we're looking for, but he definitely will always answer our prayers in some way. Sometimes he answers our prayer immediately, but we're not spiritually inclined enough to see it, and we only realize it later, much, much later. But typically some time will pass, and we have to be patient to see the answer to that prayer. So in this pastime, Krishna responded to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gopal Rai deity, by making some arrangement to have the deity moved. I mean, have we ever seen our deities moved? I mean, it's not a very common thing. The deity, it's supposed to stay, and be served. It's not supposed to be moved around from place to place. The only time we really see deities moved mainly is for the Jagannath festival, when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple. So to move a deity is not a very common thing that you see to happen very often. So the Lord made some arrangements so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have darshan of Gopal Rai. Like this, so we should know that, you know, Krishna will also answer our prayers, always, no matter what. And he will answer our prayers in a way that sometimes, you know, will be the answer we're looking for, but sometimes maybe not so much the answer we're looking for. But he will give us some answer to our prayers that helps us in our Krishna consciousness. So there are four, I kind of alluded to this, there are four types of pious souls who approach Krishna. And you may think, well, you know, if you're approaching Krishna for wealth, or if you're approaching Krishna because you're suffering and you're in distress, you want some opulence, you're wanting some opulence of Krishna, you know, to be renounced or to be wealthy, famous, powerful, strong, beautiful. One of these things, you may approach Krishna for that. I kind of see wealth like that. I mean, it's like a wealth. Krishna has all wealth, so he has all opulences. So when we approach Krishna for one of his opulences, kind of like, how can that be pious, right? I mean, if we're asking to be like Krishna, or if we just want money, I mean, how is that pious? It's because these souls realize that Krishna is the source of everything. Everything is coming from Krishna, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so while they might not be pure devotees, they are pious because they know that Krishna is God. And so if they need something, they know where everything is coming from. And how about the those who approach Krishna because they're curious about spiritual life, or they're seeking knowledge directly. To realize that all knowledge is coming from one source, from Krishna, is pious. And then if you're kind of, realize that you're just frustrated with life and you're kind of curious to know more, and you're fortunate enough to have the association of devotees, and you're looking to Krishna because you're curious about spiritual life, then that's also a sign of piety. And so, in order to come to Krishna consciousness, even if you have so many material desires in your prayers, still, if you're coming to Krishna for one of these four reasons, then you're pious. You're actually on the path. You're on the path of bhakti. I remember when you need to have some association of devotees to kind of have this process. So that's also a sign of past good karma. So I was thinking back to when I first started to be curious about spiritual life, and I was into some other philosophies there, like studying Buddhism, some Gnostic Christianity, Taoism, some like sort of contemporary Christianity, and I liked the fact that many of these different faiths had some like universal philosophy, more so than I was able to really glean on my own from just reading the Bible. And so when I met the devotees, I just kind of said, oh, another book, Bhagavad Gita, I've never heard of this. So I started reading the Bhagavad Gita, and I wanted to have a spiritual teacher. I realized that like the difference between the paths that I was studying and this path of bhakti was that bhakti is saying to me that Krishna is a person, that God is a person. And these other paths kind of gave some description of God that was always some energy of some sort, which is also Krishna, but they never said that God was a person. So I was like, well, is it God a person or is God not a person? I mean, that's an important distinction. So one of the ministers that I was sort of like respected at the time, I asked her this question. I was a Christian minister, and she said, she didn't give me the answer I was hoping for, I was praying for this actually, but she gave me an answer to that I was going to have to decide, and I already knew that, that was why I was asking her, but actually I really appreciated that answer because it made me realize that I was going to have to decide for myself, that no one was going to be able to tell me. I mean, you can go to somebody who has no faith and say, Krishna is God, Krishna is God, Krishna is a God, and what's it going to do for them if they have no faith, right? I mean, they're going to become angry, probably. So, so I was going to have to decide, so I'm praying for this, and I'm really like, not sure, I don't know where this answer is going to come from. I mean, I asked somebody who I respected, but I know the devotees were so into serving Krishna that I was like inspired by that. Like, maybe he's a person because all these wonderful people that I've met are serving Krishna. Maybe he's a person, otherwise. I mean, I don't see the purpose of all this if God is just an energy, So I stuck around longer and met some devotees who were different, they seemed to be very fixed in their Krishna consciousness. So I started to realize that, like, if I want to really make some spiritual advancement, I'm going to need a teacher. And I was reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and he was, talking about guru. And so I felt like I needed that personal connection. So I traveled to India, sort of looking for a guru, in a sense. I was following an advanced Vaishnav, you know, from U.S. where I heard him speak, back to India, Radhanath Swami. And so I was really, but I, even though I didn't even really even know what a guru was, you know, I just knew that I kind of like thought I needed one. So I was praying for this. I was praying for inspiration from Krishna. And I was even, sometime I was praying because like when I had some interactions with someone who I would consider my Shiksha Guru, I didn't know what to say. I would just like freeze up. So I would pray before, like, you know, what do I say? You know, I didn't even know how to like have a relationship with Guru. So I just try to think of like, well, what's the most important thing that I need to, okay, I need to ask the Guru a question. That's what it says in Bhagavad Gita. So I was like, okay, I'm going to ask a question. I don't want to just say something and he seems, you know, I don't want to say something just, you know, sentimental. I want to ask him a question. So I thought, what's the most, if I could just ask one question, what would it be? You know, I mean, I can't ask Radhanath Swami like, you know, is Krishna a person? So I was thinking, well, what is my service to Krishna? I thought that's important. I thought I would get a very deep answer, you know, because it was sincere. I wasn't really sure. I wasn't just asking just to hear an answer that I already knew. I was very sincere about it. When I had some time with Radhanath Maharaj, I asked him. And at the time I was a student, he said, finish your education and do your service as a doctor for Krishna. And I was like blown away, you know, because that's what I was doing. I mean, I was expecting this very deep answer, like, you know, give up your material life, you know, move into the ashram, you know, like study Srila Prabhupada's books, you know, very, very seriously and you know, single-mindedly. And he said, no, I mean, this is who you are, you know, but in relationship to Krishna, right? And so that was the point that I always need to remember. It's like, I might not need to give up everything. I might just need to give up the things that are impediments to my relationship with Krishna. And so when you make some connection with the Guru, he asks you to give up the things that you definitely need to give up to be connected with Krishna. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. And then you need to make some private time to associate with Krishna through his holy names. So if we don't know what prayer to say, if we're not really sure, you know, at that time, my prayer, you know, I was chanting Hare Krishna also. And sometimes we get realization when we chant, and it inspires us to have a personal prayer like this, like to call out to Krishna, you know, help me to serve you, remove the impediments that are preventing me from serving you, from seeing you face to face, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see Gopalarai deity face to face. Because Krishna is there, we just can't see him. So we can pray sincerely for Krishna to remove these impediments. But if we don't have a personal prayer, that's okay. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also a personal prayer. It's us asking, calling out to Krishna so that we can serve him better. That's the Maha Mantra prayer. So if we don't have a personal prayer, we can focus on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we should focus on that. And that prayer will be answered. Krishna will remove the material impediments to us developing some personal connection with him through the Maha Mantra prayer. So I hope you can relate in some way to prayer, to praying to Krishna for something. It doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, if we're praying for something to God, then we're already like in the mode of goodness in some way. And then we, over time, we can perfect our prayer to Krishna. And one of the ways we can perfect our prayer is to chant Hare Krishna without offenses and attentively. So I wanted to read a few verses in this regard. I just wanted to read a few verses about Govinda Kund, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took bath in this pastime. So this is from Shri Hari Bhakta Kalpa Latika, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. His translation, it's chapter 5, text 18. Lord Krishna placed Govardhan Hill back on the ground and happily enjoyed his pastimes. Indra, the king of heaven, begged forgiveness for his offense and glorified Sri Krishna. Those glorifications became transformed into nectarian honey and white milk from the Sarabi cow and were properly used to bathe Sri Krishna. This is a verse about prayer from Lord Shiva, from Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-76. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra prayer composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva is showing us that any devotee can be successful simply by chanting the prayers which he, Lord Shiva, has recited. And then, I mean, when I think of a prayer that's, you know, perfectly composed, I was trying to think of some common prayers that are perfectly composed, like personal prayers, aside from the Maha Mantra. And you think of like the Our Father prayer, and you hear Prabhupada, he mentions this line in the Our Father prayer from time to time, you know, and give us this day our daily bread. This is a pious prayer, you know. I need this to sustain me, whatever it might be. I mean, food we really need. But even, like I said, wealth, I mean, it's kind of, for me it's counterintuitive. How can you be in the mode of goodness if you're asking for money? But if you know the money's coming from Krishna, then that's pious. So in this prayer is, you know, it's kind of pious. We know that it's coming from God, so we approach God and we ask Him for it, you know. And that's kind of how I prayed throughout my childhood. I mean, I wanted to pass a test. I knew that, well, God is all-powerful, so maybe if I approach Him, I'll pass the test. I mean, I literally would get on my knees next to my bed and pray, I'm studying so hard, help me pass this test. You know, and there are studies that show that, you know, when that prayer or meditation, even if it's, you know, obviously we're talking about some pious prayer, not a pure prayer, where you have some intention, where you're asking for something. It's not selfless, but even this type of prayer with intention, it actually controls the mind and can, you know, calm the mind in a way. So I was thinking, what's like a more perfect prayer, you know, where you're not really like asking for something with some intention like this. And so I thought of like Srila Prabhupada's prayer when he first arrived in U.S. on the Jaladuta. So I'm not going to, it's long, and actually there's many prayers in his diary, but I just want to read, maybe just for a couple of minutes, some of the verses in English from his prayer, just to show the point of what a prayer, like a selfless prayer, you know, personal prayer can be like. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul. But I do not know why you have brought me here. You can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So, in every verse, there's this desire to do the will of Krishna. This is a selfless prayer. If Srila Prabhupada knows the will of Krishna, because he's a pure devotee, so if we don't know the will of Krishna, we can still pray purely. We can pray to know what Krishna's will is for us. And we can pray for Krishna to help us align with his will in some way, to kind of be reconciled with the will of Krishna. You know, if that's our desire, if that's not our desire, then, you know, then nobody can make us pray like that. But if we're sincerely searching and seeking for Krishna consciousness, then we can approach somebody like a devotee. If we're curious to know more, we can inquire from them. Just ask them questions about Krishna consciousness. But if we already feel so inspired and connected with Krishna, and we just want to know, you know, what to do next, or why we think this occurrence, this physical occurrence in our life, is an impediment to our Krishna consciousness, and we don't understand how this could be happening, you know, and we're in so much distress. We feel like it's interfering with our, you know, our sadhana in one way or another. It might not even be something that's, you know, so distressful. It could be just be, you know, our job or maybe our relationship, one of our relationships. We can pray to Krishna to reveal to us, you know, what his will is for us. And I think the hardest thing for me with prayer is to not have any expectation that, you know, it's going to be answered like the next day. You know, it may be answered immediately. It actually may already be answered, but we may not have the spiritual vision to see that. But through that prayer, it helps us develop a personal connection with Guru and with Krishna. And sometimes we even need to approach our spiritual master and inquire with the same question that we're praying to Krishna with, to get some inspiration. So these are some of the components of prayer. We have to have some faith. We can use the examples of the Vaishnavas and the scripture to kind of help us formulate our prayer. We have to have some sincerity, and not just, no one can make us pray for something. We have to have some sincerity that we really are asking for something that, you know, genuinely. Just like my example, you know, what's my service? I got an answer. I am doing my service. And then we need Krishna's mercy. We can't do anything without Krishna's mercy. So Srila Prabhupada is praying for Krishna's mercy, because Prabhupada knows what the will of Krishna is, but he just doesn't have any idea how he's going to do that. It just seems impossible, you know? And anybody who reads about Srila Prabhupada can see that he did something that was impossible. So he had to be empowered by Krishna. And that was his prayer. You know, he's asking for Krishna's mercy. And then we can see through the example of other Vaishnavas in the scripture that Krishna answers our prayers. And sometimes the you know, sometimes it's wonderful, like in this case, to have the darshan of the Lord, of Gopal Roy. And sometimes the answer is, you know, yeah, these things are impediments to our Krishna consciousness, and that's why we're suffering, because Krishna is removing these things from our life, so that we can be closer to Him. Sometimes I may forget that, you know, I get so in, like, so focused on my daily, you know, material services that I kind of may forget Krishna. I'll sit down and chant, and I'm remembering Krishna, but even when I'm chanting, I'm distracted. So sometimes Krishna has to give some really heavy event so that He can kind of, you know, shake us up so that we can remember Him. That's Maya, that's the illusory energies, to forget Krishna. Even when we're trying to focus on Krishna's holy name, still it's entering into my consciousness. So sometimes we have this very heavy event. Like I said, sometimes it's not so heavy. Sometimes it can be something very simple, like, you know, we're working too hard and we need to work less hard, you know? But sometimes it's a major event and we don't understand why. And when I've had these events and I've, you know, I've prayed about it and I've asked for some help from Vaishnavas, their answer is that Krishna is going to answer your prayers, but it may take some time. You know, it may take some time for you to realize why this has happened and what's happened. And so if you can relate to just looking back on your life at these moments where you had this sort of heavy karma brought to you, and how things are different now. You never thought it was going to end. You never thought you were going to accomplish this this feat. And you prayed intently to Krishna. Because of that, you got through it. And after, you were closer to Krishna. Because you realize, like, wow, He reciprocated with me. He answered my prayers. So, in prayer, sincerity, praying for Krishna's will and for the mercy of Krishna. And then the last part I want to touch on about prayer. Let's just slip my mind now. It'll come to me. I forgot the last. Sincerity, mercy, praying for Krishna's will, and I forgot the last one. It left my mind. Must not have been that important. So I'll end here. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the pastime or the discussion? Yes, Prabhu.
It's a beautiful class. Thank you. I always love you. I was contemplating one morning walk in Mayapur. Some devotees from the other temple, they're singing, "Oh, hey, Vaishnava Thakura," you know, they're praying, "I need mercy, we need mercy. Most of our prayers are like mercy. And then Prabhupada stopped and he says, so they're praying for the mercy, but Lord says, go out and preach, but they won't do it. He said, then what's the value? Why are you asking for mercy? So I was relating to another pastime where Prabhupada, you heard that, I'm sure, that a lot of Indian rich people, they're like saying, oh, Swamiji, give me mercy. Prabhupada got, I don't know what he was thinking, but he says, you want mercy? Yes, I'll give you mercy, you'll lose all material attachment. They got so scared, they kind of backed off. They didn't want the... I mean, there was no communication, so I don't know whether they maybe did not want that mercy or something. So sometimes I think, like, because then I was testing myself, like when, even amongst the devotees, oh Prabhu, please give me mercy. I say, what mercy do you want? What mercy? What is the mercy you want?
Oh, I don't know.
I said, then why are you asking? So there should be some need and supply, you know. I mean, mercy is a supply, okay, but my need should be introspectively, really, thoroughly felt. That, okay, I need to advance, I need Krishna prem, that should be thoroughly contemplated. I just asking you, maybe you can define little more. Amongst the devotees, we should have like little more specific.
That was the last point, thank you. That was the point I forgot. When you pray, you have to pray very specifically.
Yes.
Thank you. So what helps me be specific in prayer is writing it down and put on the altar, you know. And sometimes I'll change it, you know, because I'll be like, oh, I can be more specific. Because that helps the relationship. When you are in a relationship with someone, I mean, you need to be specific in how you communicate. It can be very general. So yes, it's nice to ask for mercy. But at the same time, you know, if Krishna showed us the truth about us and where we were spiritually and, you know, what type of situation we're in right now, we might not be able to handle it, you know. Really, I mean, I don't, and I so I, myself, I don't think I can, I need little bits at a time. Some Vaishnavas in the scripture, they ask for everything, and when they get it, they you know, like Queen Kunti, it's like they want more. I mean, I'm not there, but so little bits. So you can be very specific in your prayer, and then one of the things that helps with that specificity is. Yeah, I mean, how can you be sincerely asking for something if you don't even know what you're asking for? So having knowledge, and then also, when Krishna shakes us up, you know, and just gives us a little bit less karma than we deserve, for me, that helps me be more sincere, you know? It helps me know what I'm asking for. Like, it helps me know and see what I don't need, what these anarthas are. Is when he shakes me up, then I see like, oh yeah, this isn't, I don't need this. And my, you know, this is an impediment to my Krishna consciousness. So thank you, Prabhu. Excellent.
I was also give you one more, because these are like very important day to day in our life. One time, Indradhumna Maharaj, in his morning time in Woodstock, I remember he was doing his japa. So I sneakily went in, and I was sitting right behind him, and nobody else is there. He's just doing his deities, and then he started chanting japa. He was a big japa man. So after a little while, he realized I'm next to him. So I said, Maharaj, what are you thinking while you are chanting? Why are you asking that? I said, because I want to know, so I can align with it. He said, I'm praying. I said, that's good, what are the kind of prayers? And then he said, my God, you like want to know every secret? I said, yeah. So he said, well, I can't tell you everything, but I tell you something. I was just praying that I may die any time, any moment, I better be very serious and attentive. My Lord, please give me full attention to Arsi's lotus feet and so I can hear your name and surrender myself. It was very nice, very, you know, tangible, very sweet. And he said he prays a lot. It was very nice the way he expressed. These devotees are singing Sakala Sahane, you heard that song. Sakala Sahane Baladiya Karani Jamane Spihahina. Please, my Lord, please, Vaishnavas, empower me so I can tolerate. And then the singer was very interesting. He says, why those devotees don't have interest to come and join? They're just doing their own things. They're like, they should come and join. It was very interesting that another advanced devotee, he says, you just pray for the tolerance. How do you get your tolerance tested? By criticizing, or actually you tolerate? He said, when you pray, be very serious what you're praying, and Krishna is giving you chance to see if you pass the exam or how you actually develop that strength. But you are not even aware what you are praying. So when the opportunity comes to see that, you are missing it. And then you will go back to singing, oh, please empower me so I can tolerate. Does it make sense?
Yeah. So, are you saying that some prayer can be like we can perform it mechanically?
In a sense? Because he just saying that all our others are not joining, and he cannot tolerate this. But he's praying for tolerance.
Yeah, I think praying mechanically can also help, but at the same time, if we want it to be effective, we need to pray sincerely. But I would say also at the same time, in order for us to kind of... sometimes we develop that sincerity through activity. So even if we're doing something and we're not sincere, many times it will build the sincerity within us. So your point is well taken, that really if we want our prayer to be the most effective, which of course we do, why would we want to spend time doing these sort of mechanical things if they're not going to be so effective? We have to have some sincerity from within us. That's how you do it. To be inspired by other Vaishnavas, to see how they pray.
Thank you for the very thoughtful and well planned out class. I really appreciated it. One thought that came to my mind as you were discussing about being specific about your prayer, I thought that point is very, very important. And the thought came to my mind was that in order for us to be specific, let's say we're talking about making advancement in our Krishna consciousness. So, you know, we pray to Krishna, dear Shyam, please make me devotee, make me a better devotee, or give me Krishna prema, or get, you know. And that's kind of more general. So in order for us to be specific, I was thinking that it's important for us to know where we are at. When we know where we are at, then it might be a good idea to pray for the next step rather than for the highest step. And then we go to the next step, then let me be able to climb up the next step. One of the things, we have been reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and I was thinking that how there each devotee, when they praise somebody, you know, when in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I don't know if you're aware of it, yeah, that when each devotee is praised, they say, well, yeah, but look at that devotee, and they don't go right away to the gopis and say, look at the gopis, they are the best, but they go to the next devotees that they can relate to, so to speak, and then go and his or her qualities. So I was thinking, yeah, to be specific, it's a very important point, and to be specific is to be able to know ourselves where we are at, and thus our prayers will be better answered. Yeah, thank you again for
that. Thank you for sharing that. It's a very important point. Yes, I will. There's one comment. From Carissa?
Yeah, you can say loudly. Mother Mahavishnu.
Oh, Mother Mahavishnu Priya. There are so many types of prayer, like Mother Teresa's. Anyway, prayer Mother Teresa's Anyway Prayer, or the prayer by St. Francis. Prayers guide us, and we can see our entire life as a prayer to the Lord. Thank you very much for the nice class. Very nice.
It's also
It moved. That's all there. It is absolutely incredible that a Mahabhagavat, such as Srila Prabhupada, who, as you nicely point out, already had Krishna's full mercy, and yet within himself he prayed for Krishna's mercy as if he felt bereft of it. One may ask how such a pure devotee needs to pray like this. He is not praying for some result, like the materialist. He is not praying for a connection to Krishna, because he already has the connection. He is praying for Krishna to further reveal himself. Jai. Thank you, very nice. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. When I pray, I always ask for these two things, prema and bhakti. And for me, bhakti means I want to reach to a point where I don't have to force myself to come to a temple. You know, it attracts me like, it should attract me like a magnet. And love means to me, you know, when a boy, young boy is in love with a girl, he just get attracted to that girl. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. It just comes automatically. That's what I mean, I understand by love. So these two things, I think that's all the scriptures are saying, you know, prema and bhakti, prema and bhakti, prema and bhakti. So I'm a little confused when we are saying specific. I think these are two very specific things. This is the ultimate thing. What is beyond than this, or is it not right understanding? You getting my point?
Yes, I get you. Yes, absolutely. I think these are the goals, certainly. To pray for them is definitely to really have some knowledge about where we want to be. But at the same time, maybe not everybody can pray for that. They have to pray for something closer to where they are, you know, like something like specific in the sense like personal in their daily life. But also they could pray if you have that realization that, you know, this situation is like, I can overlook that, you know, and I because I know that, you know, the most important thing is Krishna and prema and bhakti. Then you can pray like that also. But, I mean, some people may see that they have some specific situation, and that through that experience they see some of their impediments to their Krishna consciousness. So they pray, they know that it's Krishna's will that we come back to Him and that we serve Krishna. They know that. But maybe they want to pray specifically for that impediment to be removed, you know, so that they can achieve what you're talking about, you know. So it's true. You can pray for the prema and bhakti, but you can also pray for the specific situation that is the blocking you from reaching the prema and bhakti. That's another way also. Jai Guru. Thank you for your question. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi. How are you going?